flat seal where you want to seal for me.
All right, well, let's call the meeting to order and rise for the invocation, which I guess would be me, since I got no. All right, Heavenly Father, once again, we come together and thank you for the opportunity to exercise our rights as Americans and citizens of the city of Ocala and give guidance to the city in this fine facility. We pray for wisdom.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The late Terry Crocker. Roll call.
Terry Crocker.
Here. Here.
Gary McCollum.
Here.
Paul Wolfpack.
Here. We have a call. All right. Next on the agenda is consideration of minutes of our prior meeting, Thursday, May 28th. Everybody reviewed the minutes? Are there any corrections or additions? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
I'll move as published.
All right, we have a second. Jared, were you here?
I'll second.
No, he wasn't here, so he can't. Terry, you were here, I think. Terry was here, yes.
A motion to approve the bench.
I'll make also move.
All right, we got a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Unfinished business, minimum standards.
You're proposed for the minimum standards update, copies, the update for sent to the airport board. There's red line hard copies in front of you now. Copies were also sent to the commercial operator from the airport soliciting their input on it. There are not any changes I can go over right now. On page 4, at the bottom, we defined what a SASO is. We use that term throughout the document before, and it was undefined, so we had what that definition was.
Come on.
Bottom of page 4.
Yeah, I see it. We define CAO, so shall I mean a CAO?
CAO is defined already on top.
Where is that? Hold on. Commercial. Oh, commercial aerial operator. Okay, there it is. Missed it.
Bottom of page 6, section 4.5C, we added some of the ethics clause. We took that right out of the new lease agreement with Shell Care. We thought it was apropos that we have the minimum standards and have all the operators following that paragraph.
Okay.
And the last change is the biggest change, and that's on the very last page in section 7, rates and charges. We've deleted rates and charges for all of the CAOs and SASOs, airframe power plant, parts, aircraft training, rental, aircraft sales, air taxi. To recap, when we did the appraisal that established the rate that we were to charge Shell Air, one of the comments made by the appraisal company was that we were a bit fee heavy on those commercial operators through our minimum standards. Now that we brought that lease agreement with the FPL up to market rate, we can back off those fees, we don't have to recoup those from those operators anymore. So staff is proposing to eliminate those fees. We still list the fuel flowage fee in there, landing fees for aircraft at 100,000 max gross takeoff weight, special events, car rentals is in there as well, 3% of their adjusted gross, commercial filming, licensing, photography. And
then the T handle rates and charges are also listed on there as well. Well, what would we do if we had a CIO come and want to locate that was not within any exclusivity?
Well, if we did have another commercial operator that wanted to come on board, they were either going to want half of the rent from Shell Air, whose lease rate would capture that operation, or they'd have to lease directly from us.
Yeah.
In which case, our lease rate with them would capture that rate. Rate of charge.
Why don't we have some kind of omnibus, like other COs not specifically listed above, shall be, you know, charge rates negotiated by the city or something like that?
Well, we did, at the very bottom, we used to have in there other COs not specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
We pay a payment of $500 per year.
I'm not saying you got to specify an amount. Just saying, just not excluding the fact that there could be, other commercial aeronautical operations that aren't in the fuel business, car rentals, location fees. Base of charges. It's just something to say that these aren't exclusive, or these aren't, by the enumeration doesn't mean some lawyer language that Jimmy could come up with saying. The fact that you publish these rates don't mean that they are the only rates.
Would you like to get back to staff to put the paragraph in there?
No, I'd like to put this to bed.
Okay.
I don't want it to go another month.
The board could
just
both approve it subject to your promise.
Yeah. Okay. Let me think. Any other discussions before I, while I think that out?
No, it's that's lawyer and kind of stuff. I'm quite leaving that.
Well, do you have any comments about the changes that have been proposed, anybody?
The fees have always been there. I mean, if the gross revenue and where we're going takes us to a point that's equal to or greater than where we were, then I suppose it's easier to administer.
It is. There's another benefit to this. And that is the fees that we were charging were all over the board. They weren't very similar between operations. There has to be some consistency to it. We're charging one operator $10 a year and another operator almost $8,000 a year. We need to look at that. This certainly clarifies that or corrects that disparity right there. By charging that much of a difference, it opens us up to potential inquiry by the FAA. By eliminating these fees and just capturing it through the fair market rental value of the properties that the companies lease from us or through Shelter, which we already captured,
some of those for parts for avionics or maintenance, avionics parts obviously, or new units could be really expensive. So some of those have been kind of maneuvered where that wasn't taken into account. Just for fairness, just more business operations than inventory. So I think we could probably defend the differences in them, but. I guess I'm in the case of simplicity. If revenue is still there in another form, we're not missing it. I'm not totally opposed to making it simple.
Here's what I suggest. You add to section 7, other CAOs not specifically listed above, : per rates and charges agreed to by the city and the CAO. Other CAOs not specifically listed above, : rates and charges agreed to by the city and the CAO. Okay, I think that would be. So, with that change, we have a motion to approve the changes to the minimum standard.
Also moved.
Okay, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
I'll forward this on to City Council for approval.
Okay. Terminal parking lot.
Terminal parking lot. We had the mandatory pre-bid meeting a couple weeks ago. It was well attended. We, off the top of my head, I think we had maybe 15 people in attendance. We had the U-shaped tables in here, and there was all the chairs were filled. There was every seat taken. Out of those 15 people, I counted probably six that would submit as a general contractor on the project, which I think was a respectable number. The opening on that parking lot project is on July 1st. Speaking with a consultant, like the mayor, looks like we'll submit the official FAA grant application a day or two after that. And that will complete the financial side of construction.
What is the project again, please, Mr. Park?
Sure, actually, I have it behind me. We are expanding the parking lot terminal. The car rental terminal is located here. North is to the left. Here you have the existing drive. It will add stormwater retention right here, a small pond. It will add piping basically from that pond through the new parking lot, come around here and take it to the airside in the open swale area and the stormwater network that we have at the airport. The pipe is sized large enough to accommodate the future additional runoff of the parking lot once the terminal is built. The terminal itself, and any additional future development that might take place in this area here, rather than have all these small, tiny little ponds along the front of the 60th Avenue. So that's what that pipe will do. It's going to underground all utilities currently above ground along the right one on 60th Avenue on the airport side. So that'll clean up the entrance. Some landscaping in the new parking lot areas here and here. And essentially, that's it. There'll be some minor utility work up around here to try and essentially get the area's infrastructure up and running and ready to accommodate the construction of the new terminal. So it's going to impact the car rental folks in there now. We're going to have to relocate some of their cars, currently parked in the grass here and here. We work with them on some new location. We can offset the grass over here. We can actually shovel around. We can find space for them out front here. So we'll work with them on that. We'll have about $1.1 million available for the construction. And the final version, or the final portion of that financial debt is that FAA grant, which will be submitted. Paul, you have a question? No.
Nope. Just getting those.
It's $1 million worth of parking lot.
And utilities and drainage. Drainage pipe is pretty significant. It's 48 inch pipe. And it gets buried pretty deep by the time that it comes around the corner here.
48 inch?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little over engineered, but it's other people's money. Why does it matter?
Well, remember, it's to accommodate all that future development that might occur behind the flight school hangar, the development that Shell's Air is proposing.
So the plan would be to hook on that, take it north to the other sites along between the present FBO terminal and this area up here.
Well,
I'm just trying to understand.
We are trying to get away from accommodating the stormwater runoff along 60th Avenue. In fact, the master stormwater plan that the city did on the airport about a year and a half ago calls for the elimination of the pond that currently serves the T-hanger complex right now.
Yeah.
Expanding.
I asked that be done because, look,
it's a good idea.
It's pretty obvious. We're losing a lot of space. We can put T-hangers to a drainage ditch.
That's right. So.
I agree, but I just was trying to get a sense of what it was.
So now's the time to get that part of the project done. The underground and utilities, I think the estimate from the city of McCall came in about $75,000 to do that. But I think it's important, we're investing several million dollars in the terminal building. And it's a tangled web of underground wires out there now. And now's the opportunity to get that done underground. This is supposed to be our front door entrance to the city, since people come and go.
Yep.
And doing that, it's a heavy ticket item that is important for us.
I agree, it's a nice thing to do. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, for that.
But you know, you say it's other people's money, you're right. It's FAA money, it's state money. They've been fabulous partners with this project. We see that. They are anxious to contribute, so we're happy with that.
And they open the bids on Monday.
On July 1st. Yep. July 1st.
Wednesday.
So is it?
Next Wednesday?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And close. This month is nearly gone.
Yeah, it is. But this, that's just an advisory. I have other questions on the parking lot. Any others?
I want to get to the big one, terminal. That was a parking lot.
Let's talk about the terminal building construction. We need to address the next step in the terminal. We've secured the funding. Now it's time to decide how it will be designed. At the last board meeting, we discussed a couple different ways. Actually, we discussed three. Shelter can certainly do it. They have the capability. We've done it before, but unfortunately, with grant monies involved, it has to follow the state CCNA guidelines, competitive bid consulting guidelines. So that option. We discussed having a design contest where we would provide criteria to potential architects, and they would end up spending could be $8,000 to $10,000.
Why couldn't Shelter bid on the design?
Could.
Okay, so they're not out. It's not out.
They technically could in that design contest.
Well.
Sole source is a Shelter can do that. But the design contest, they could certainly, you know, there are architects who work for Shelter. They could bid on it as well.
May I ask the Shelter, you guys done any terminals designed?
Oh, yeah. Designed Danny. And actually, Fort Lauderdale, I think, at the airport. It's been number one. Or it's been rated number one.
And you didn't have that prohibition in that about state money?
Over our pay grant.
Yeah, I guess. So the third option is to contract directly with Michael Baker. When we did the consultant selection, the terminal design was a heavy part in the selection process. The consultants that did bid on it knew about the design aspect of the terminal, and a large part of their package had to deal with the design of the terminal. Michael Baker, in part, was selected based on their ability to provide that architectural expertise on the terminal building. There's some benefits and negatives on doing the design contest. You know, it puts it back out there and begins to see competitively what other architects could do. The problem with that, it's going to add 6 months to the construction aspect. Because we have to procure it, we have to come up with a bid, we've got to advertise it, we have to interview, we have to decide. With Michael Baker, we can just pull the trigger on it and start almost immediately.
How much is that? What's the fee for that?
Oh, we haven't got that. Yeah, we just have
draft numbers over, folks have negotiated with it, and you don't really know the size of the building. I never have a number exactly. So the next step beyond determining how we're going to get designs is scheduling a design workshop. Essentially where we invite the stakeholders in the airport, the surrounding community, the airport board, the airport tenants, corporate tenants, Shelter, Michael Baker, city council, invite them to essentially discuss some of those design elements on the terminal, to figure out the size, shape, style, and function of the terminal. Did anyone participate in the Vision 2035 planning meetings with the city a couple years ago? Where different design elements of the growth, of how they perceive the growth of Ocala, were essentially weighted, and the people that voted on those design elements basically voted either they either put their vote on one or so than the other, and the team took that input and put it towards, you know, that 2035 vision document. We could do the same thing with the terminal. Invite, yes.
Let me just shed a little light on the design process. As some of y'all know,
You've been around the block on that a couple of
times. Yeah, about 35 years of it. But architects in general are reluctant to do design contests. They don't want to go out and draw a bunch of sketches. In fact, I think Michael Baker would tell you that they don't want to draw a bunch of sketches either. If they're selected, they'd like to present something, and hopefully they've got it close enough that we could go back and say, oh yeah, we like the floor plan, but we really don't like the look of the building. It's too traditional. We'd like something more modern, etc. So from the design contest, I don't think it really works. And I will back up what Matt said. When we selected the engineer, a very heavy part of why Michael Baker was selected was because of the design work they had done on similar projects, terminal wise. And in my case, looking at the other ones, we have four people we're finally down to, Matt.
Yeah, they were shortlisted.
Four. Look, everybody was almost identical. You could have flipped a coin and got a very good engineer. But the design of the terminal through the architectural firms, they joint venture with it, or maybe they're in-house. That was really the deciding factor of us hiring Michael Baker. So I would go along with saying, let's hire Michael Baker and see if we can negotiate a contract that's within budget.
So I have a slightly different, all due respect. But they were hired before Shelter came along. Are you going to bid on the construction?
No,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mike. That was directed to Shelter. I was scared. Are you all going to bid on the construction?
I would not know that.
I would presume so. You have a construction.
Definitely
no.
Yeah.
I can add to that. I've spoken with Todd Anderson about it. They are anxious to get started. They realize the requirements we have with FDOT, the grant money. They've spoken directly with Michael Baker. They're willing to contribute and help in any way they possibly can. They are going to be a strong influence on how the terminal is going to be designed, because they are going to be the prime tenant.
But why do we need, nothing better than competition. Why not throw it open? I'd like to see Shelter bid on the design.
They would hire their own architecture.
They don't have that in house.
For that matter,
we have work.
Well, what I was going to say, for that matter, I can bid on the design. I mean, we will intend on bidding on it.
I don't think we ought to hire anybody just without any bid.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing, because this is only like the second meet that I've heard of it. When I think about y'all talking about the design, I think like a 1950 term by order of, like if all 12 of us got together and put the labor out, what would it look like, the product?
What, who are you with, please, for your name for the record?
I'm Stan Lepilot, and I kind of just do board and circulation, a little bit of groundwork.
What is your name for the record?
Dan Rich.
So what's your point? You think it should be?
No, I was just wondering what kind of product y'all were looking for, like the ABS, the actual visual, were y'all thinking about putting the labor out instead of, and then calling it in?
We're not at that point.
Oh, you're not at that point yet, okay.
One of the new concepts of, you know, a few years ago was, well, originally it was design, bid, build. That was the, you hire the architect, you bid it out, and then you build it. Then the next thing the state and federal governments went to was the construction manager process. And that, for the most part, that's kind of out the door. Then they went through the design, build process, and that's still viable. Which, for example, if on this project, if Shelter wanted to do a design, build, Baker wanted to do it, I could actually go out and hire one of the architects that we interviewed during the process of hiring Michael Baker for the engineering. We could submit on a design build. That's also viable. But if we're in a hurry to do that, or in a hurry to get the money and the project underway, then, you know, I still stand that we hired them based on their abilities. And I assume the city has a mechanism to keep their fees and check with what standard.
Well, we negotiated the hourly rates.
And we would submit our fees to an independent reviewer for an independent evaluation of our fees and make sure they're in line. That's required for.
Isn't there an actual guideline for different types of buildings? Like, for example, you know, in hospitals, there's a fee structure.
Standard fee curves.
Right.
And you can use that, but Matt would probably send it to RSA or somebody like that and have them do an independent review. I could just add something about the Shelter, the way they typically do business. And I know because we've worked with them and four other locations that I can think of just off the top of my head of this: Savannah, Jacksonville, St. Pete, and Orlando, where we've done that FBO facilities for them. They hire us to do the design, and we work closely with them in giving them whatever they want. Sit down and do floor plans and design the space, of course. And then we would bid it out all the time as a partner to them. So this is, they don't have architects on staff.
Well, how'd you do Banyan? I apologize. How'd you do Banyan?
That was way back, that they probably did the same thing. I'm the regional vice president to run the FBO, so I'm not under the construction side.
Yeah, when you asked us that question about how much FBOs, it was, you know, okay. But yeah, we're totally separate entities. FBOs and construction are totally separate, so he probably knows more about it. So if you were to go out to bid, there's a very good chance that we might team with them. And the other team, when we talked to Ty Anderson, and he's 100% on board with us working together.
Right.
And like I said, we've done it at least four times that I can think of in the house.
But didn't you say it had to be competitively good?
No. It was competitively good.
The
construction is absolutely competitive.
No, what about the design?
The design.
We've already done that.
We've already done it.
We've already competitively
did it.
By virtue of having an engineer.
We included the projects as one of the measurable items in the consultant selection process.
Get it.
If we put it back out to bid, no less than 6 months additional time. Mm-hmm. We've got the flight school busting at the seams. Fish and Wildlife here, all of those guys will be impacted once the new terminal's open, because airport administration will vacate this building. That's what you've seen. Forestry will be able to expand inside here. They've already got two pilots that are bringing additional mechanics. And then, of course, the flood school, another consolidating the opportunity of taking over the current shelter building. And there've already been discussion of the shelter not doing that. So, honestly, I'm putting it on your shoulders.
Yeah.
If you want to competitively bid it, it's competitively bid on the qualifications. It's not necessarily bid on the dollar amounts. So we don't know what the dollar amounts are. It's not designed.
Well, until you do a design program, you can't really determine the dollar amount of the construction cost, which a lot of architects and engineers would base their fees. So you would give them a scenario like it'll be a 20,000 foot freestanding building, etc. They've got to apply what they think construction should be, and if it was $200 a foot, it's like $4 million, and they'd base their fee on that. But it's just kind of a wild-ass guess, to put it bluntly.
I'd like to start working on that design workshop to figure out what those elements are going to be, but I'd like to be able to work with our architect to help facilitate that process. So staff's recommendations is to secure the services of Michael Baker, begin designing the
term. Comments?
Question from Jordan. I'd just like to, I'm sure they were done, the architect with Michael Baker International was on the interview. We are willing, ready to begin work on this. It's something that we've been anticipating since we got selected. And, we're ready to get started on it, and you guys are ready, so we can begin almost immediately. Notification, so we won't be the lead.
One of the tasks I have is we had discussed bringing a local architect on board, maybe to help with some of the local, the locale of labor. You know, he can help us with some of the renderings, and nobody knows better than what, you know, is built here and what represents Ocala than a local architect.
We'd like to get away from that.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh.
I mean, seriously.
We'll give you our architect over there.
That may work. I don't think that it's necessary. Personally,
quite frankly, I think they're all so busy. They're all looking for draftsmen and CAD people. I don't think you're going to get much response right now. So,
comments, Terry?
I always like the competitive bid process, but I've worked at this for a long time with the city and other things, engineers and other selection processes in this and other parts of the city, and it's not an exact process, but this is still perhaps the best way to do it under the circumstances, in my opinion. I mean, it's not like we passed muster, and that's one of the main things you've got to do with the controlling agency, and that's the people with the money. Mm-hmm. So if they allow us to do it this way, all things being equal, the fees that we're going to be charged here are probably very representative of the fees we're going to get if we went out and went through the bid process. And where do you think, Gary, with that?
Well, that was my point all along. I mean, I'm sure when they put their proposal to each of the four firms, when they put their proposals together, a big component of it was the terminal building. So, take me for example. If I'm doing a $20 million facility, my percentages are less on a $20 million than they are on a $2 million. So, I would assume that all of the engineers that bid on the airport project took the terminal as, okay, this is part of our scope of work, so therefore this is how we will base our hourly fees in order to get it.
This is Baker's proposal. That included the terminal. After your job.
I just threw it away the other day. Laid on my desk so long.
All right. We have a motion.
To make a motion, we go ahead and engage Michael Baker to move forward with the terminal building, whether it be in the form of a proposal or, tell me how you want that, Matt.
Staff recommends security services of Michael Baker to begin design for the Federal Aviation Terminal.
All right, so I like Matt's wording, we'll just stay with that.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So what do you have to have
A kind of like a design workshop, like you have a couple weeks, I'll schedule it, make sure.
Don't we get Chuck Savage on, our representative on that, or do we need any?
No, I have the entire board to be there.
Okay.
And each have their own individual voice.
All right. Is there any particular terminal that you've been to that you think you'd like to see replicated here?
Well, I can't say that there's a particular terminal that I've been to that I like, but I can say that the Banyan facility, although probably much larger, is a very nice start. One of the things that I would love to see the city have is something that wasn't really residential in nature, and these low squatty buildings that we so commonly see. I like the progressive look. I mean, that's why I made the comment that we don't want what we have here now.
We talked a lot during the presentation about Baldwin County, which is a two-story facility. You guys said that that's your favorite.
Which was it?
Baldwin County. So we're going to come back to the chief's friends.
What did you say, one of the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe. The lineman at the LPM on the pool, right?
Banyan is in Fort Lauderdale, right?
I like Banyan.
Fort Lauderdale, exactly.
Yeah. I'm just looking.
As much as anything, the Banyan facility, the interiors are really nice. I mean, I don't even think I remember what the outside looks like, but inside is very impressive.
All right, pardon me. Anything else on terminal building construction? Nope, not for the moment.
Park fuel ops, I printed out, excuse me. I printed out some fuel operations, bottom numbers to absorb. Let's look at the airport operations, that's this sheet right here. We had a fantastic May. I believe it was the busiest month on record at 5,941 operations. A big part of that was the itinerant training traffic. Our flight schools really boosted our operations. We're on track to do about 62,000 operations on the year. It's going to be about a 10,000 increase.
And that, how's a flight school calculated? Is it just takeoff and landings, or?
It's touch and goes. Every single operator, so that the air traffic controller's got a little counter, and it's got a count for each one of these individual items. And it's training, if it's touch and go, you can do it twice. If it's a landing, a little one. Take off, it's just once.
Well, so bounce it down the runway.
Well, count your bounces when you land.
I don't bounce.
So we are trending very well on the airport operations now. It's actually starting to increase. Like I said, we're going to break the 60,000 operations mark.
That's good. Has there been any more noise from the FAA in terms of tower requirements and funding? And
I heard that actually the wording that I got from the industry, from some of the alphabet groups, in Washington, excuse me, the funding is in place. A lot of the projects for it should be guaranteed for the next 10 years. And with the increase in our operations, that goes very well for us. So I think what I'll do for you for the next meeting, I'll compare, I'll see what year-to-date numbers part of some of our local competitors at Leesburg and Gainesville.
It'd be nice to watch every month. What like airports in the area are experiencing?
Now, I wish I could echo the same enthusiasm of fuel folks. That gas, pretty poor. Not even 4,000 gallons were delivered. On the Jet A side, not even 27,000 gallons of Jet A. That is one of the worst points ever on our record. And I think part of that is because of the impending switchover between Landmark and Shelter. I know Landmark quit buying out gas fuel for almost the final week. And they actually had to purchase some. We had the new farm that was fueled up and ready to go. So they actually had to purchase some of that fuel back from Shelter so that they were able to still serve their at-gas customers for the last week that they were here. The Jet A side of things, they weren't looking to keep the fuel tanks filled because they knew that inventory would have to be transferred over to Shelter. So they didn't spend money. Speaking of Shelter, it looks like it was a pretty decent month. We'll probably do about 40,000 gallons of jet fuel this month, and I think almost 17,000 gallons of that was. So this month will make up for the shortcomings in May. But overall, we're still down on the year, almost 15% compared to this time last year. So ops are up.
That just means people are buying their fuel elsewhere.
Or maybe they didn't work in the past.
We'll see. We'll try to correct that. We're trying to correct that.
Yeah, I bet you will. Just a couple other quick little things. For the maintenance side, we've been down both tractors for about a month. Now we had the borrow one for a little bit. We're a little behind with the airfield maintenance. We just got one John Deere back. It's been difficult to get out there with the mowers, but it's raining like it is, and it's growing faster than we cut it. We secured the new tractor. It's over at Fleet right now, getting prepped, friends, doing whatever they do to get it ready for use. Put the new radio in, things like that. So we should get that there soon as well. We'll be up and running 100% of our maintenance activities within 7 days.
Super.
That's all.
Appreciate that. Anything else for Matt, guys?
If not, the first thing is wishing to appear. Anybody?
All right. Paul, you everything all right?
It's okay. I wish they could figure out the way to keep our gates working. Keep the lights away.
We have replaced the maglock on the desk from the gate. And if those who did that, then we lost the controller in the mechanism on the actual gate. Golden size.
And put another board in it and did the same thing, lost it again.
Is there any way of isolating that gate from the rest of the fence? Like put a double pole up there with a gavel up this thing or the rest of all that section is not sustained to all the way around the whole airport?
Maybe we can Dura code the
which gate is it?
Gate 2.
Oh, okay. That's funny, it's all over. Electronic interference coming out of the pipe.
I was told before that the fact that there's really nothing to arrest, like lightning rods on the perimeter gate. So I mean, a lightning strike gets close to a fence on the other side, and it just follows it all.
What electronic interference coming out of your shop? There's no question.
We do have Shelter in the audience, obviously.
Yeah.
Tom is the regional vice president. He's overseeing things here for a bit. And with Kyle, he's the line service manager. He's the one of the street that feeds that.
Thank you.
Welcome to Oakell.
Thank you.
Happy you're here.
How often are we going to have lunches like we have? I need to plan for long afternoon nap, so tell you what.
It's like a push back an hour, like a board meeting up an hour.
Have a cup of coffee.
You missed it.
You missed it. You got any comments by individual board members, Terry?
No. Looking forward to working with Shelter and moving forward with the new opportunities.
Great.
I've got one comment. I've had dozens of people comment on Shelter, just how much better it feels there. You know, just your comments like appearance, the demeanor, people are happier, you know. Particularly happy when they have fresh cookies.
Well, we've got our company, we can get a little share, I feel a little bit about our company. I mean, I was with Edgar Drugstore for 23 years at Sandy Cove Airport, and Shelter acquired us from Edgar Drugstore now, and I've been with us since 2005. And it's been nothing but good. Mr. Holland and the Shelter staff, he treats everyone so fairly. He gets us the equipment we need. We have the proper staff and levels. I've increased double staff, increased our staff to double the size it was. We get raises across the board. We hire vacation pay salaries, vacation pay from day one. Even in the downturn in 2007, when I was downturn, we had all these major companies stop the 401k match, and Mr. Allen never stopped the 401k match and claim. So he's a firm believer of taking care of his people. He takes care of his people. He doesn't have to worry about his customers. He knows his people will take care of the customers. He's the type of animal any one of us would call him at the office today, he'd answer the call. I'm very proud to be part of Shelter.
That's a great endorsement. Thank you. Anything else? If not, motion to adjourn.
So move.
Thank you. All right, we're adjourned.
You did a stellar job. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was. Very honored.